Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the sound. It's Director of Public Affairs, John Vauquette. Thanks for tuning into our award-winning Public Affairs show for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Well, it's the height of summer, and we're going to be talking about some awesome things to do in the coming couple of weekends to benefit great causes. So we'll kick things off with a couple of representatives from Sikorsky Aircraft, which is partnering with Teamsters Local 1150. Hosting the 9th annual Home Run for Heroes charity baseball game to honor and support local veterans and their families, August 3rd with the Hartford Yard Goats. We're going to talk about the event, learn about a big job fair being introduced this year for veterans, and hear about the veteran service agencies who are benefiting, including spotlighting one of those agencies, the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center. Then we're going to invite you to Summer of Rock 2019, an all-day music festival that's going to include concerts, music workshops, food vendors, and tons of fun happening August 10th in Cheshire, brought to you by a grassroots organization called Music Matters. We're going to talk with the co-founders of Music Matters and find out more about the event's primary beneficiary, Abilities Without Boundaries. And we're going to close with the co-founders of the Freedom Isn't Free Ride Foundation and discover how one Connecticut vet who was injured in combat faced another tragic battle when he came home, just trying to simply find a place to live. And we're going to invite you to support his cause, which assists other vets who have fallen through the cracks and are currently homeless, by participating in the 4th annual Freedom Isn't Free Ride. That's coming up on the morning of August 3rd. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vauquette, right after this reminder. Hey, if you missed our broadcast last week, we want to remind you about the free 11th annual Citizens for Easton Farm Tour coming up Saturday, August 10th from 10 to 2. This self-guided tour of Easton Farms will begin at Samuel Staples Elementary School Pavilion. The day will include many family-oriented activities, including tastings, Easton Garden Club and Easton Historical Society activities, antique farm tool exhibits, and games. Families can visit a petting zoo and tour greenhouses and all the farms on the tour. There'll also be all kinds of food trucks and refreshments, workshops, and raffles, all supporting the nonprofit Citizens for Easton. For details, just visit citizensforeaston.org or check them out on Facebook. Well, as you heard from our introduction, we're going to be honoring veterans at the top and the end of the program today. I'm so pleased to have in the studio Rebecca Sprano. She is with the International Trade Compliance Office at Sikorsky Aircraft, and Kevin Lenihan is with us of the legal department. He's a Navy vet and is the president of the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center. And why are we telling you this? Well, Sikorsky Aircraft, a Lockheed Martin company, and Teamsters Local 1150 are going to host the 9th annual Home Run for Heroes charity baseball game to honor and support local veterans and their families. This year is going to be really, really important for anyone who's listening out there on Long Island. Don't be afraid to pop over here, jump on the ferry, and come on out, because we're going to have an on-site job fair specifically for veterans. It's all happening on August 3rd at Dunkin' Donuts Park right there in Bridgeport. Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford. Easy to find from everywhere right there in the center of the state. So we appreciate you guys coming in. And Rebecca has been steering this event for several years, but has been familiar with it and peripheral to it since it has begun. So, Rebecca, thanks for coming.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
So, from your perspective, give us the backstory on this as you began to discover how Sikorsky was able to uniquely support vets with this event.
Well, as you indicated, it's our 9th annual Home Run for Heroes event that's going to be held at the Hartford Yard Goats. But it actually started out as a very small event by a few people in our legal department at Sikorsky. And since its inception, it's really mushroomed to a unbelievable event. We have now not only the Teamsters Local 1150 and Lockheed Martin, but we have over 50 sponsors who are within the Fairfield and the Long Island area of New York who are also sponsoring the event. And you're right, I have been the lead for the past 5 years. I have been the chair, but really this event doesn't happen by one person. We have about 100 volunteers who are at Sikorsky who work on this event all year long.
So has the event since it has begun, also expanded in terms of the amount of recipients who have been able to benefit from the fundraising and other activities that are happening?
Absolutely. When we first started out, we just had two organizations who were benefiting from the event, but this year we have four organizations, and that's Connecticut Fallen Heroes, and that was a an organization was actually started by one of Sikorsky's employees, and they honor those who have fallen in the line of service. And we also have Connecticut Veterans Legal Center. So that's an organization that's located in Connecticut and provides legal services to veterans on different issues, on some health issues, medical issues, also contractual issues, housing issues, really a wide array of different services that veterans might need in the state of Connecticut. And then the two newer organizations that we donate to as part of this event is the Harkness House, and that offers transitional housing for male veterans and also female soldiers, forgotten heroes, and that gives female soldiers and their young children the ability to have transitional housing as well. It's really tough for veterans who need some sort of transitional housing, but particularly for women who have smaller children, because a lot of facilities don't have the capacity for smaller children and veterans to be able to help them through these difficult times. So those are the four organizations that benefit from the event. But in addition to that, we bring about 300 veterans to the event that are sponsored. And this year, not only do we have veterans from those organizations, but we also have veterans who are coming from the VA hospital. We provide transportation for them. We give them meals at the event, a ticket. The employees and our sponsors really truly have been, in terms of their donations and contributions, overwhelming. And one organization that's going to be joining us this year are family members from TAPS. That's Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. So we're going to have a good group of those who are coming out. We're really looking forward to seeing them at the event. And it's going to be a beautiful day. That's what they told me at the Yard Goats. No rain, only beautiful weather, not wind, and it's going to be a great game.
We'll throw the tarp of goodwill over the entire place and ward off any precipitation. That'll be great. So let's talk a little bit about the partnership between the folks at Sikorsky and the union, because this is also a really important, bringing everybody together in the workforce, because if I understand correctly, about one in five Lockheed Martin employees is female and or a veteran.
Right. And throughout Lockheed Martin, we have about over 22,000 veterans we have at Lockheed Martin that we employ. Truly, that is our mission at Lockheed Martin, really to honor our veterans. And it's truly important for all of us to not only help our veterans while they are fighting and they are in service, but also after they are no longer currently deployed. So that's a true mission of all the employees that we have. And this event helps continue that mission.
And everybody gets it. I mean, obviously, you're a major, military supplier with helicopters and other products. And having veterans so close in proximity, both on the front lines, in administration, at the company, everybody sort of kind of gets it. In terms of what's so important about this event and the overall mission.
Exactly. And the Teamsters, as you indicated, they are a major sponsor of our event, and they have been from the beginning. As I indicated, they're a major sponsor. Their employees absolutely participate. They could not be really more thrilled. And they are also very intricate in terms of making certain that we do have reaching out to veterans who are in the community and making certain that those veterans are able to come to the event. And they help with our transportation to bring those veterans there.
Excellent. So as we indicated, this event is August 3rd at Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford. So tell folks who may want to come and support this with the remaining tickets that are left, what else they need to know and what they need to do.
So those remaining tickets, they could reach out to the Hartford Yard Goats directly, purchase a ticket. There are tickets that are available. They are getting pretty close to being sold out. So it is going to be really a great game and very energetic, to say the very least. We're going to have fireworks there as well. They reach out to the, they can purchase them online or they could purchase them at the door. There are also standing room tickets that are also available. And at the event, we will have the Sikorsky motorcycle, which will be there also. It's a commemorative motorcycle that has all of the different lines of service on there. It's and that's really going to be a very special feature that we're going to have at the event.
Great. So this is August 3rd at Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford, and the on-field ceremony begins at 5, followed by the ball game, Hartford Yard Goats versus Trenton Thunder. No helicopters coming in.
No helicopter. Well, you never know. But you never know what might happen.
I didn't want to be flying over toward Bradley, right? You never know. Yeah. It's because down here, you know, by the Sikorsky Memorial Bridge where we're taping the program, very few visits to our station go by without looking up and seeing your good work flying right overhead. So, or at least hearing it for sure. So we want to take a quick break once again and remind you that Sikorsky and the Teamsters Local 1150 are hosting this 9th annual Home Run for Heroes charity baseball game to honor and support local veterans and their families. As you heard, among the recipients are the Connecticut Fallen Heroes Foundation, the Harkness House, Columbus House, and Female Soldiers Forgotten Heroes. We're also pleased to have the president of one of the other recipient organizations with us in studio, with the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center. He's the president of that organization, also a Navy vet, and with the legal department at Sikorsky. Kevin Lenihan. Kevin, thanks for coming in and talking with us for a while.
Thanks, John. My pleasure to be here today.
So tell us a little bit, kind of from 5,000 feet, about why an event like this is so important to the folks that you're trying to reach.
Well, it's important on a bunch of different levels. And the first one, and the one that everyone can see mostly, is the money that it raises. The money that we raise at this event is a significant part of the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center annual budget. So without it, there would be programs that weren't completed. There'd be attorneys who couldn't do their work. So from a monetary perspective, it's essential. The other big thing about it is awareness. And it really does make the state much more aware of the veterans' issues that exist out there. We don't see the existence of the veterans' issues every day, but there are homeless veterans there who need help. We are in what they call a legal medical partnership at the VA. So we work very closely with the VA to get people through the VA system. It's a complex system. I use it myself, but it is very difficult to navigate. So the attorneys at the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center work with the inpatients at the VA hospital already to not only solve their medical problems, but to solve any legal problems they have, which often are partly involved with homelessness.
How else do you meet and assist veterans through the legal center?
So one of the things that actually the way we started with the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center at Sikorsky was by doing pro bono work. So we actually have a handful of pro bono cases that we work on. So our lawyers will assist the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center in any veterans issues that come up. And some of them are VA benefits related. Some of them may be discharge related. Others may just be civil law things with landlord-tenant or debt collection. So we work with them very kind of hands-on in that regard. And then we support the center through both our donations and the time that we do, and certainly my helping out as the president of the board gives them some visibility into the Sikorsky system and the Lockheed Martin system.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about helping navigate through the VA. Are there other areas outside the VA in normal civilian or conventional legal circles where you can lend aid to veterans through the center?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of the legal services that we provide are non-VA specific. For example, a lot of them are related to homelessness, and we will have vets who are in danger of being thrown out of an apartment or thrown out of their home. Mm-hmm. So rather than them being bounced onto the street, we will get involved. We'll go to housing court with them. We will help negotiate resolutions with their landlords. So we do a lot of that kind of thing. Debt collection and debt resolution is another thing that we do a lot of work with, where especially vets who are living on the margin find themselves in bad debt situations, where we'll help them kind of create a profile where they can kind of climb out of their debt and get back into society without having that hanging over their head.
Mm. Are most of the or all of the attorneys that work with the legal center veterans themselves?
No, actually, most of the attorneys who are employed at the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center are not veterans. Interestingly, most of them have very strong family commitments to the military and service. So a lot of them have fathers or brothers or aunts or uncles or who are in the service, but most of the actual staff attorneys that we have at CVLC were not in the military themselves.
Hmm. How would someone who's listening who might be a veteran themselves with a legal question or a loved one, a coworker, friend, neighbor, get in touch with the center? Is it as simple as making a call for help, or do they need to be referred somehow through a human service organization?
So most of the CVLC does work for mostly indigent veterans, so there is an income cap, but they're always willing to take a call.
Sure.
They have a website, ConnecticutVeteransLegalCenter.org. Most of the referrals they do get come through that legal medical partnership, though, where people who are in the system already, often for mental health issues, will then be referred to the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center to help with the legal side of the problem.
Okay, and are you always interested in meeting and possibly taking on more attorneys who might go to bat for veterans who come for help?
So we actually have a full-time pro bono coordinator who works with a number of local firms and local solo individual practitioners who provide a tremendous amount of service to us. I don't remember the number offhand, but we get thousands and thousands of dollars worth of service from pro bono work that local attorneys do to help out. So they're really a force multiplier for the staff attorneys at CVLC.
Excellent. So I get people. All people have to do is go to their favorite search engine and put in Connecticut Veterans Legal Center for the referral information.
That's right.
Great. Kevin Lenihan, who is president of the Connecticut Veterans Legal Center, also working very closely with this event that's coming up at Dunkin' Donuts Park, this Home Run for Heroes. We're also with Rebecca Sprano. She is with Sikorsky as well. These two folks are co-chairs of this upcoming event, as you heard, or if you just tuned in. It's happening August 3rd at Dunkin' Donuts Park, home of the Hartford Yard Goats up in Hartford. Activities and ceremonies begin at 5. There's a game between the Yard Goats and the Trenton Thunder a little bit later, and then after dark, fireworks. It's a great day to come and honor and support veterans and their important foundation recipients who are going to be benefiting from this event, including the Veterans Legal Center that we heard about, the Connecticut Fallen Heroes Foundation, the Harkness House, Columbus House, and Female Soldiers Forgotten Heroes. We want to go back to Rebecca for the last couple of minutes that we have, though, to also focus on another issue, and that is employment. And an important component to this event is also going to be a job fair. Rebecca, why don't you just brief us on that?
Oh, absolutely. So as part of the...
A little bit closer.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Thanks. So as part of the event, Helmets to Hard Hats, which is an organization that we're working with this year. We will have, they will be there, as well as other organized labor unions. And Sikorsky will be there in Lockheed Martin. And we will have different opportunities for veterans. And we will have an opportunity for them to complete some information. And they could look at the different current positions that would be available. So it's really a neat component that we added to this year's event. And we're looking forward to it.
And you also mentioned a plethora of vendors and others that are participating. So this is really an event where folks can come and plan to not only spend several hours, but also really learn a lot and engage a lot and meet a lot of service organizations and things like that?
Absolutely. And as I indicated, you know, they will be there. They will be speaking to veterans. And so if you're attending the event and you're a veteran and you would like to learn about those opportunities, please be certain to stop by the booth. It will be right as you enter into the arena. And it's a great opportunity for the veterans. And we're really looking forward to it.
Great. So folks just need to go to the Hartford Yard Goats website if they want to buy tickets for the game. And if they get tickets for the game, they're in for the whole event.
Absolutely.
Very good. We want to thank you once again for coming out. Home Run for Heroes honors 300 Connecticut veterans each year, and last year raised $125,000 for local veterans organizations. This event is organized to raise funds for these important charities that we've been talking about here on the show, and new this year is the on-site job fair. We hope you'll come out. It's August 3rd at Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford, home of the Hartford Yard Goats. Come for the game. There'll be fireworks, food, and lots of ways to learn about and support and help veterans here in Connecticut and beyond. We want to thank our guests this morning, the co-chairs of the event, Kevin Lenihan, a former Navy vet and current legal department staffer at Sikorsky, as well as Rebecca Soprano. She is with the International Trade Compliance Division at Sikorsky. Thank you guys for coming out. Thank you for your service and all the great work that you're doing for veterans.
Thanks,
thank you,
John.
So much. Really appreciate it.
Well, we're hitting the midpoint today, and a lot of important guests on the show, and we are thrilled to be able to get a chance to promote some good events that are coming up, as you heard, and will continue to hear. We're pleased to be in studio now with Jeremy Brewer. We're also going to be joined shortly by John Ingrassia. They teamed up to create Music Matters. John's a full-time music instructor and a lead guitarist in a band. He also volunteers for an agency called Abilities Without Boundaries that we're going to hear about and meet in a few minutes. But in the meantime, Jeremy Brewer just celebrated 13 years with Hamden PD. He's a police officer there. And also, as I've learned, something of a singer. So we may actually may be seeing him at this great event that's coming up, the Summer of Rock, on August 10th from 11 to 7 at Senior Poncho's on the Cheshire Prospect Line. And we're going to hear all about it. Jeremy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. It's awesome to be here.
So beyond the humble introduction there, just give us a quick little backstory on this organization that you and John have decided to make happen.
Sure, sure. You know, it was like any story, it started off, this whole thing kind of came together during a snowstorm in February. I had just gone to the Special Olympics Connecticut kickoff event, and they were talking about different ways to raise money because I happened to be one of the liaisons for our department for Special Olympics Connecticut. And I just called John in the middle of a snowstorm, cleaning off our cars, and he was talking how excited he was about, you know, working with this group teaching music therapy. And he says, you know, I wish there was a way I could raise some money to help buy some more instruments. And I said, dude, because that's how we talk. I'm like, dude, I got an idea, man. Why don't we collaborate together with this stuff that I'm doing for Special Olympics? And we could really have an outside the box idea to just get people together, rock out and raise some money for some great causes. And I have to tell you, John, the initial Music Matters that we did a couple of months ago was a great success. People were like, when are you doing the next one? Okay. And Summer of Rock is here.
Super. So tell us a little bit about how an event like this all comes together. Senior Poncho's, I know the venue, I know the location. Tell us a little bit about how that's going to be set up and what's going to be available for people who come out.
Well, for Senior Poncho's, you know, what's really cool about it is they have this really cool grassy field that I like to call the lawn. They have a bocce court, they have horseshoes, and it's just a huge open space. You know, when you are indoors at any kind of restaurant or bar, you're limited with space. People are trying to see. So to have an all-day outside music festival, that's what we're really making this. It's starting at 11 a.m. and going until 7 p.m. What's really cool about this is we're having two stage areas. That way, when one band is breaking down, another band could be setting up. We're going to have kind of a marketplace, if you will. We're going to have some local artists come and show their work. All sorts of stuff like that. This is kid friendly, by the way. I have a good friend of mine, Amanda Damaraki, is going to come and she's going to do some face painting for all the kids. So this is definitely kid friendly. Obviously, the food is delicious. There's a ton of great parking. And we're really, really, really excited. We're going to have a really great time. We're charging $10 for adults to get in, $5 for kids. You know, vast majority, if not all, this money is going to Abilities Without Boundaries. You know, the musicians aren't making any money. We're just doing this for the love of music.
Excellent. So once again, folks, if you want to support this event, it's coming up on August 10th from 11 to 7. As you heard, at Senior Poncho's. It's right on the Cheshire Prospect Line. Very easy to find if you're coming up from Naugatuck, Waterbury, the Naugatuck Valley, coming in from Wallingford or New Haven, points east like Old Saybrook, or coming down from Hartford or Manchester. We hope you'll join us. We're going to give Jeremy a break and check in with John Ingrassia on the line right now, and we'll come back and talk to Jeremy after we meet Julie Rodriguez, who is going to tell us a little bit about Abilities Without Boundaries right after the break. All right, we're going to bring in John Ingrassia now. As we talked about, he is a volunteer for an organization we're going to hear about in just a little while, but he's also a full-time music instructor and the lead guitarist in his band. It's the Johnny I Band, very appropriately named, John. But thank you for all that you do to help teach folks music, but especially for parachuting into Abilities Without Boundaries and helping those folks discover the joy of music, which is really what it's all about for you, I guess, in every aspect of your life, but also for this big event that's coming up. Tell us about your role in this fantastic event, Summer of Rock 2019.
Yeah, that's great. So last year I had this idea to put together a music festival, and it just came together this year, which was great. And I always wanted to call it the Summer of Rock for a while. It's something I had in my mind. And what I'm doing and what we're all doing together is I have about 20 bands coming in. A majority of the bands are students of mine that I teach. And then there's also some bands from Connecticut that are going to come and donate their time to play. And also from Abilities Without Boundaries, I have set up an all-star band. So it's going to be kind of their big outside stage debut. We're going to play a couple of songs from Billy Joel and Lynyrd Skynyrd, which is going to be really cool. So they're super excited to get up there. And that's what our direction was with that. With the program that I'm doing with Abilities Without Boundaries is we're going to be with this small group, all-star band, we're going to start doing some traveling gigs around the state, maybe libraries, hospitals, different things like that. But, the Summer of Rock will be the first their first go at it. So.
And it's not just about that act. You've gotten a lot of either students who have worked with you or acquaintances from the state and regional music industry involved, right? There's a bunch of bands coming out to this event.
Yeah. There's a lot of different bands. A couple of guys that I've been working with for a long time, 12, 15 years. They call themselves the Howlin' Barn Cats. There's a great family band, F4, that's coming out to play. Just a lot of different people. There's a young group, a really heavy metal group. They're actually really good, and they're really making some sounds. Dissonant Delusion. So they're going to be 11 or 12 years old. They're going to come out and play. We're in touch with a few people from doing some more of these events, from Guns N' Roses, Blue Oyster Cult, and different things. I'm associated with a lot of different musicians, whether in Connecticut or LA and different things like that. So we've been networking about having some of these guys, Jerry and I have been talking about having some of these guys come out and do music clinics and stuff like that at these things and maybe jam along with the people or come and help out with the music therapy. So it's going to be pretty cool when all this comes together. It's really starting to. So
have you got the logistics of the music clinics all worked out? What's that? Is that just for folks that have never played before that might want to get started, young or old? Or is there going to be something pretty much for musicians of any scope?
Yeah, I think pretty much of any scope is good because some of these guys will come in and talk about, some of them are touring, all around the world or have toured around the world. So I talk to them about maybe letting people know that are maybe interested in doing that, kind of what it takes to do it, different things they've been through. It's always kind of fun to hear stories like that and, the work that really goes into being able to sustain, playing music for a career. But then they'll also, whatever their instrument is, like when some of the guys are bass players or guitar players. So they'll get into, their style and maybe something I thought would be fun is how they got started. So maybe it was, Jimi Hendrix or Led Zeppelin that got them into it. People love to hear that kind of stuff. So we're going to do stuff like that. So it's going to be a little bit of both. And it's going to be, training on the instrument, but as well as, traveling in a band and what it's like to have a serious band and, travel all around and do it.
So like one of those an intervention to prevent the pain and suffering of the road and travel involved in a small band.
Yeah, for sure. Talking to a lot of these guys, they put a lot of time in. And stories are pretty wild, but it's the love for music, like you said earlier, whether, you're doing it on a small scale or worldwide. It's just, you keep going and, you reach fans and you meet, one thing I could say is that I met some of the best people, doing this because you're always around different things. And, even leading into meeting you and Jerry and I, we had a band when we were in high school together. He was the singer.
Yep.
I'm trying to get him back into doing it.
We'll talk him into singing. No problem.
Yeah. But
good.
Yeah. So it's going to be cool. Yeah.
Super.
There's a lot of really good things that are coming together and it's going to keep building,
Excellent.
So this is the first one that we're going to be doing. It's going to be a great one,
good.
But we're going to, keep going and try to do this Summer of Rock thing, around the same time every year.
Great. Well, John Ingracia is the other half of Music Matters and a full-time music instructor, lead guitarist for the Johnny I Band, and volunteers his time teaching music therapy programs for Abilities Without Boundaries, who we're going to meet in just a couple of moments right after a quick break. But John, thank you for what you're doing. We'll be back with our other guest this morning, Jeremy Brewer, and we'll meet Julie Rodriguez from Abilities Without Boundaries right after the break. Stick with us. Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click onto Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm Connoisseur Media's Director of Public Affairs, John Vauquet. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Parents who diligently check their engine fluids and tire pressure before making car trips, whether it's a lengthy vacation or a short hop to the grocery store, should add one more thing to their checklist: their child's passenger safety seats. That's because nearly 73% of car seats are misused or improperly installed, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. To teach parents how to properly install their car seat, AAA Northeast is sponsoring a free child passenger seat clinic coming up August 1st for members and non-members. It's happening from 10 a.m. to noon at the AAA Hamden Annex at 35 Worth Avenue. For appointments or more information, just visit AAANortheast.com. We also want you to save the date for Main Street Waterbury's 14th annual fundraiser, the Brass City Brew and Q, on Saturday, September 7th from noon to 5, rain or shine, at Library Park in downtown Waterbury. Advance ticket purchases are highly recommended and are available for $35. Tickets are $40 at the gate. Attendees must be 21 or over, and there's no charge for designated drivers. Hey, you want some more information, including access to pre-event activities and to purchase tickets? Just visit BrassCityBrewAndQ.com. All right, we'll give the gentleman a break. Thanks for coming back to hear more about not just this important event, Summer of Rock 2019, but the organization that is going to be a primary beneficiary of it, Abilities Without Boundaries. Julie Rodriguez is on the line with us from Abilities Without Boundaries. Julie, thanks for joining us.
Hello, no problem. Pleasure's all mine.
So are you a musician too, or are you just in this for the audience experience?
I am not a musician. I am totally here for the support of the individuals we serve, and I'm so grateful for John and his team for what they're doing for us here.
Great. Well, we got about 3 or 4 minutes with you. Tell us about Abilities Without Boundaries and why organizations like the one that Jeremy and John are heading up are so important to the end work that you guys all do there.
So we're an agency that serves a population with people with intellectual disabilities, and there is a great need to place this type of population in jobs and give them quality of life. So like a music program and music therapy, it gives them the opportunity to put smiles on the faces of others. They need a place to go every day. They need somewhere that they feel like they're at home, that they have a sense of purpose. And we've been here a really long time in Cheshire, since 1978, and we're a big staple in the Cheshire community. So we are looking for places to volunteer and places to be employed. It's a big part of their life, and that's all our individuals want, is to really be employed by the community that we're involved in.
So where do you draw from in terms of the people who come to Abilities Without Boundaries, and about how many people do you serve? And we don't need exacts, just a ballpark idea of where folks come from and how many of them are there?
We serve individuals from anywhere from Litchfield County to North Haven down to Stratford, and of course here in Cheshire. We have about 90 individuals served. And they come from all over, and we pick them up and drop them off and, do the best we can to make them feel like they have a sense of purpose.
Mm. And what are some of the other things that your clients get involved with? We heard from John a little bit about how, you know, he comes in and he does some music therapy with them. What other kinds of opportunities are there for other folks to come in and either work with your clients or maybe even, you know, get them involved in some kind of social activities?
Yes, we're open for, we're a jack of all trades. We have amazing artists on our staff and individuals who can display great artwork. We would love to sharpen those skills with them and maybe present their art pieces in the community for sale. They're very crafty. We look for people to come in and teach them how to do different activities, such as even dancing or gymnastics, or we are currently teaming up with Cheshire Copper Valley to teach our individuals how to play pickleball, and they've been doing a really good job at that. So anything that can stretch their horizons and make them feel as if they are being independently active in our community is really our purpose.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate the work that you're doing. Folks, if you want to learn more or get in touch with Julie about possibly sharing your skill or service with the folks from Abilities Without Boundaries, you can just go to abilitieswithoutboundaries.org and learn all about the agency and find out how to help. They are the primary recipient of the Summer of Rock event coming up on August 10th, right down the road from them on the Cheshire Prospect Line at Senior Ponchos. Julie Rodriguez, we thank you for taking a few minutes with us to talk about this organization. We'll hopefully come back and maybe do a whole segment with you and learn a lot more and meet some of the great folks that you work with. But in the meantime, enjoy the music coming up on August 10th. And once again, thanks for what you do. We're just going to go back to Jeremy for the last word, and we will see you at Summer of Rock. Julie, thanks. All right. Well, we're back with Jeremy Brewer. And as you've been hearing from Julie, what a great cause the Summer of Rock is helping to benefit here. John and Jeremy, of course, co-founding this Music Matters organization. So in the last minute or so that we have with you, Jeremy, give folks a quick rundown again on what they need to know and where they need to go to have this fantastic musical experience.
Absolutely. Thank you again. It's going to be August 10th. 11 a.m. We're kicking it off and going until 7 o'clock at night. It's at Senior Ponchos at the outside there. If you want to check out more info on it, you can go to our page, which is summerofrock.eventbrite.com. You could buy tickets there if you'd like. Obviously, you can buy tickets at the door as well. It's kid-friendly. We've got our fingers crossed for some great summer weather. Hopefully not too hot. Hopefully no rain. And we're really, really excited to get everybody out there.
Excellent. We'll see you at the Summer of Rock on August 10th at Senior Ponchos. We hope everybody can come out and help support this great event. I want to thank Jeremy Brewer and John Ingracia for all of their great work, especially Jeremy, you with Special Olympics doing the double duty there. And congratulations on your 13th year anniversary with the Hamden PD, and best of luck with this Summer of Rock event. May it be the first of many Summers of Rock to benefit these great causes. Thanks.
Thanks.
Well, just like we opened the show this morning, we're closing honoring veterans as well, particularly one that's here in the studio with us. Russell Edgett's here with his wife, Sabine Edgett. They are with the Freedom Isn't Free Ride Foundation. If you're watching local news the past couple weeks, you might have seen him all over at least one or two of the news stations. Russell took it upon himself within the space of about 24 hours, I guess, to walk from Fairfield all the way to the state capitol to bring attention to veterans' concerns. So first, Russell, thank you for what you're doing today. Thank you for your service and Sabine as well, because we all know all good vets have the support network that is most important to their mission after service. So but you're both still serving, really. The Freedom Isn't Free Ride Foundation is a nonprofit organization raising money to assist veterans who fall through the cracks and don't qualify for other assistance in getting housing. We're going to talk a little bit more about that with our guests this morning. But first of all, Russell and Sabine, fill us in on the backstory and a little bit about your service, Russell.
I served 12 years in the Army. I did two tours in Afghanistan. served in various locations, Hawaii, Virginia, Texas, and upstate New York. Two tours in Afghanistan were from, one was from with First ID in Texas. We were stationed there, and I did a year tour in Afghanistan, and my job was a truck driver, so I drove pretty much all over. And during my first deployment, I got blown up by a IED roadside bomb and damaged the truck. And it was a two-person vehicle. My passenger, he ended up breaking his arm, so he got sent home because it happened right in the middle of the deployment. Mm-hmm. We went from June of 08 to June of 09. Mm-hmm. The explosion happened January 17th of 09. And when the truck got blown up, it went up in the air and slammed back down. I slammed against the driver's side door, which caused some physical issues, but more or less it caused a traumatic brain injury and some of my PTSD. And then I just stayed under observation for about a week, and they put me back to work and worked for the rest of that deployment. Then we moved to Fort Drum, New York, and deployed from there in 2012 for 9 months, and as got more PTSD from that deployment because I lost two really close friends of mine. And the one that hurt the most, he was a younger soldier, and 2 weeks prior to his death, he went home to see his daughter be born. And that was his first child, you know, basically first for him for everything, marriage, child, military deployment. And so his family's, as far as I know, they're doing well. Yeah. So when we came home in 2014, my wife and I, we spent over 2.5 years looking for a place to live, going through the places that the VA points us to, like Section 8 and a few other projects like that that are supposed to be out there to help people. And when I was getting my ratings through the VA, I got my 70% rating. I went to Section 8. They told me I didn't make enough money. And then like a month later, they bumped me up to 100%. And the person at the same person at Section 8 I spoke to turned around and told me I made too much money. And then I looked at him. I was a little upset. I said a few choice words that I can't say on air. But I asked him to explain to me how $3,079 a month is too much money when most rents start at $3,000. You know, how is somebody supposed to live? Mm-hmm. You know, so we continued to look and be bounced around from different realtors and different landlords and stuff like that. They'd look at me and I walk with a cane 9 times out of 10. I try to fight it and not walk with it. But when it gets really bad, I have braces on both knees, a back brace. And sometimes lately, where it gets really bad, I end up in a wheelchair. Mm. So, but I've had people look at me when I'm walking around normal with nothing and say, "You look well enough. Why don't you go get a job?" Mm. Where they don't understand the aspects of the PTSD and the traumatic brain injury, where I can't be in big crowds, loud noises, you know, more or less more vigilant and jumpy when certain things happen.
Yeah.
And my wife is with me as my caregiver pretty much 24/7. But, we continued to look for a place. We found a realtor that would work with us. And then we got two realtors that helped us get the place that we're living in now. But while we were going through all this looking for a place, I just decided to try to do something to help other vets that come home in the same situation, because a lot of people don't realize that when being homeless is more expensive than having a home. Because we came home with like $18,000, and within the first 3 months between going to the VA, you know, back and forth, transportation, and just going looking for a place and stuff like that, a lot of times we stayed at her mom's house, and but there were times that we ended up staying in the car because, you know, we didn't want to burden her mother too much, sure, with two extra people in a small condo.
Yeah.
And but we blew through our savings within like the first 3 months, and then we're struggling, you know, basically month to month, trying to do things that we can do. And because like now I get the money from the VA, I get a little bit from Social Security. She gets paid to be my caregiver. So we work off of very little money per month. So I decided I wanted to start something and try to build it up to help other veterans that come home in the same situation.
Yeah,
well, whether they have money or if they even have the money to do so, I can still get them a realtor that will help them. And if they don't, once we get our business built up, we'll be able to help them with like the security deposit or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say a couple things. It's really important, I think, for people. Like, if you had met somebody doing what you're doing now, then I'm sure you can imagine that a lot of that story would be very, very different, when you came home.
Yeah. You know, because there's organizations that help soldiers. Like, they have places that will help single soldiers, like Homes for the Brave. And then they have places that will help soldiers with small children. If the family member has, like, a teenage child or something like that, you know, a child of, well enough age to do what he needs to do, and if it's just, like, my wife and I, two people, then we fall through one of the cracks that, you know, nobody really sees. And we struggle. We do what we can do for ourselves on top of trying to help, you know, other people.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a break, Russell. We're speaking with Russell and Sabine Edgett of the Freedom Isn't Free Ride Foundation. You may have seen Russell on the news calling attention to some of the issues he's been talking about by walking from Fairfield to the state capitol a couple of weeks ago. They've also got a big event coming up we're going to talk about. But Sabine, I just wanted to touch base with you. Have you known this fine gentleman since he was in service? How did you guys get together? And tell us a little bit from the perspective of the caregiver. You know, you're not somebody who comes in and punches the clock. It's 24/7 for you.
Exactly. We've actually been together for 21 years.
Oh, okay.
We've been married for 16. And I actually pushed him into the military, because there were no jobs, really, at the time. And I was like, well, at least this way, you know, you have a path that you can progress in.
That so many had before him.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did really well in the military. And then he deployed. And I gave him strict orders on his first deployment, I must say. He had three things he had to do. Duck and dodge. If it's not pavement, don't drive on it. And he could come home with any hardware he wanted, except a Purple Heart.
Yeah.
There's one paved road in Afghanistan, so that rule went out the window. He's in a truck, so he doesn't really need to duck and dodge, but he came home with the Purple Heart.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to steer around those camouflage devices as we see and hear so much. And I have to say, so many people have sort of vicariously and casually experienced almost everything that you've been through, Russell, on countless TV shows, movies, and podcasts and things. But very little of the entertainment world takes the next step to reveal and follow the stories of veterans after all the action happens.
Yeah.
And this is why the work that you're doing is so important. And it's important also to be able to tell everybody who's listening to the program this morning how else they might be able to help you and the Freedom Isn't Free Ride Foundation. So tell us about this next event that's coming up where we can get participants on two or I guess even four wheels for this ride, right?
Yes, I over the past we've done this will be our fourth ride, motorcycle ride. We've had other people ask in different shows that we've gone to. I've had a couple of Jeep groups that have asked if they can join the ride. And that's why I don't want to discriminate against any vehicle, because in the past of my own knowledge of like different rides, there was a ride last year the last one that happened, the 9/11 ride, they banned some of the motorcycles that, you know, would usually ride, like the Slingshot, the Spider, and a couple of other various bikes. And I got upset with that because, like, the Slingshot, it's basically a car on three wheels.
Yeah.
So if me being military like I am, or a first responder from 9/11, if I like riding motorcycles and I can only ride that, how is somebody going to tell me that if I want to support the cause that they're supposedly doing,
yeah,
not to, I can't ride because of the vehicle?
Yeah.
So I take that as an aspect. If even if somebody wants to come in on a scooter, we don't go fast. We do all state routes. We're escorted by state troopers. We do about 40 miles an hour for 60 miles. We do all back roads from St. Pius Church in Fairfield to Joey C's Boathouse in Stratford. And we eat lunch at Joey C's. We don't have hot dogs and hamburgers and, you know, stuff that's been cooking for, seems like a day, but it's been cooking since the morning time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So basically, I have it on the Facebook page. We have our website, and we've had some people sign up both ways. So I'm just waiting to see on Saturday, the 3rd, on how many riders we have, because I'm hoping we have a good turnout.
Great. Well, so to recap, the 4th annual Freedom Isn't Free ride is happening on Saturday, August 3rd. Registration is from 10:30 to 11:30, and then after the invocation, the ride begins. The starting point is St. Pius the 10th Church on Brookside Drive in Fairfield, and as you heard, the end point is Joey C's Boathouse in Stratford, with all proceeds benefiting homeless veterans and the IAVA, which is what?
Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. That is one organization that the gentleman that started it, he is an Iraq war veteran, and he started that organization like 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's trying to do so much for the veterans. He's done things in Washington and, you know, to fight for things that we shouldn't have to fight for.
Right. Well, we thank you for your service once again, and thank you for coming in. And it's great to be able to have you folks and the folks from the Sikorsky event that we had earlier in the program, you know, both of these events happening on the same day. So what's fantastic about it is if people really want to show their colors, they can come out to the Freedom Isn't Free ride, and then later on head out to Dunkin' Donuts Park for this this other Home Run for Heroes event, and make it all in one day and really, really feel great and help a lot of veterans, and or maybe make some great connections to get help that they might need or even get a job. So we want to thank you for coming in and chatting with us this morning and making your acquaintance. I'm sure we'll be visiting again to celebrate the continued work that you're going to do. Russell and Sabine Edgett of the Freedom Isn't Free Ride Foundation. Freedom Isn't Free, is that right? Is it the Freedom Isn't Free Ride Foundation.net?
Yes.
Is their website if you'd like to visit and learn more. But in the meantime, please consider participating in however many wheels you're riding on Saturday, August 3rd for the 4th annual Freedom Isn't Free Ride. Thank you guys for coming out. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program for the people. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette.
I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.